Abuse in juvenile facilities is not a problem unique to Texas. The Civil Rights Division at the U.S. Justice Department has investigated conditions at juvenile facilities in more than a dozen states. Mark Soler is executive director at the Center for Children's Law and Policy in Washington, D.C. The center works on reform in juvenile justice and other systems that affect troubled children. Mr. Soler has brought cases against juvenile facilities in about 15 states. He joins us in the studio. Thank you for coming in.
Nice to be here.
Can you help us put this Texas Youth Commission investigation into perspective? Are these the kind of problems that have prompted the Justice Department to investigate the way that some of these other states are handling their juvenile justice systems?
Well, the most common kind of abuse is excessive use of force or use of chemical restraints like tear gas or use of mechanical restraints like chains or leg shackles. That's more common, and that is usually more documented. The sexual abuse, by the nature of it, is the secret kind of abuse that occurs in these institutions.
How widespread is the problem? What are we talking about here?
There's a federal statute called the Prison Rape Elimination Act, which requires public officials to report sexual abuse in jails, prisons, and juvenile facilities every year. In 2004, there were about 2,800 reports of sexual abuse in juvenile facilities. About 30% of those were substantiated. The actual number may be many times that amount.
Why do you think that it's higher?
Because I think that children just don't talk about these things. When I go and interview kids as part of lawsuits, they start talking about the dark things that go on when the staff is not around. A lot of this is youth-on-youth violence that occurs at night or at the end of hallways or in dark places, in dead ends in the facility. And then when the staff are involved, there is the very serious concern about retribution by staff, that staff will take kids out and beat them up if they talk about these kinds of things.
We just heard the Texas mother describing not only her son being abused by other kids, but also by staff and the staff witnessing this. It just sounded like culturally things had gotten to a point where unimaginable things were being allowed to happen. And I'd like your insight on how it is that people in charge of taking care of children, no matter what they have done, could think that it was okay to treat them in these kinds of ways.
I think a big part of the problem is that these children are poor and they are largely African American and Hispanic. We know that about a third of the adolescents in the United States are children of color, but about two-thirds of the children locked up are children of color. That is a significant overrepresentation, and it indicates strongly that there is a race and ethnicity issue that's going on here. And it is too easy for these public officials to think, and sometimes they actually say, these are not our children, these are somebody else's children.
What should the lesson be from this Texas case?
I think we need to learn that these large juvenile facilities are not rehabilitative locations. They are places that generally make the kids worse, and they clearly don't help recidivism. There's been a lot of research on this. The things that work are small, well-staffed, community-based programs that involve treatment for the children as well as for their families.
Does that cost more money?
No. Actually, there are savings from that kind of treatment. Large facilities are the most expensive way to address the problem of troubled children and the least effective way.
Mark Soler is executive director at the Center for Children's Law and Policy in Washington, D.C. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.